Oh yeah, Outliers. How's it going? Niyama-shan here, and thank you so much for letting me be a part of your journey. Actually, to say letting us be a part of your journey, because today we have an incredible conversation coming up here on the Outliers Edge podcast, where we focus on visionary creatives and leaders who are making their thing out in the world to take it to the next level in a way that's aligned to them and to help them continue to unpack what they alone are on this planet to create. I have one of those creators with me today. It's Miss Cream of the Crop Cream. It is fantastic to be in conversation with you. Thank you so much for making the time for this. I'm glad we're getting a chance to talk.
Thank you so much for having me. And it is absolutely fantastic for me as well to be in conversation with you finally.
Yes, yeah, it's good. It's good. I love the finally there, because when I have these conversations, I like to start off with like what's real. We're gonna spend the underlying premise of this whole thing is how do we take people who basically show what's happening on the inside for what people see, like, because most people only see what's happening on the outside, and help make it real. So one of the things I like to do is just like drop in and be like, oh yeah, who is Cream to me? So you give me just like in this moment, I know I'm gonna do it. I just don't know what I'm gonna say. Actually, this time I forgot I was gonna do it. I'm like, oh, I gotta do this. But I don't know what I'm gonna say, but I'd like to just share a bit about like my experience of you so far. You good with that?
Yes, I'm good with that. Yes.
All right, cool. So, Cream, like, let me take you in. Wow. Okay. So the word that comes to me as I'm in space with you is essence. Essence. And what I love about like the reason that's coming through is I feel like there's a purity to like how you show up, and how you show up is it's like the essence of you flows into each conversation like with ease, grace. And also just like a bit of edge, as in like I feel like we can jazz. I think we can jam, we can dance here. What I feel when I'm with you is that the essence, like I think about like that's like the purest drop, the purest drop. And I feel like when you come into this space, or when I have conversations with you, I get that purity. We got to play with that. I'm gonna leave that at that point right there. But that's how you are to me right now, in this current moment.
Okay. Okay. I like that. I like that.
So we're gonna play here. I've shared a bit about like how you've shown up for me in the past. And I'll also add this one element. I think this is why the essence part came up. Like in our very first conversation, you had no problem just being you and sharing like the goods, the bads, what you're working through, all that stuff there. And that's where I'm like, oh, I got the essence of you. You get what I'm
Yes.
saying?
Yes.
I get to talk to a lot of people, and that doesn't always come through so cleanly or so clearly.
Yes.
And you offered that, so I'm appreciative of you, and I'm grateful for who you are.
I appreciate you for being willing to listen and being open to accepting my authenticity. Oftentimes, that can be very intimidating for others. And I know that that may sound weird to some people that might be tuned in. And thinking like authenticity, how can that be intimidating? I think that there requires a certain level of self-awareness for others to accept your authenticity. At times, you can show up as yourself, and yourself can be too much for others. But it depends on what space they're in the moment when you greet them at where you are. And a lot of times, people aren't prepared or ready to meet you where you are in the time that you're meeting them. So that's why I say I appreciate you for being open to meet me in my authenticity and appreciating that authenticity, because that means that you are at a level within yourself to be open to accepting others for who they are when they show up. Even if it's at a place that you may not be yet in your life, you are still grounded enough within you that you can accept others' authenticity. And that's amazing. And that's major. And that's something that you should be proud of within yourself as well. So that's what I'm saying. Thank
I want to give me a second to receive that, because I wasn't anticipating that. Give me a second to
you.
receive that real quick here. With Outliers Edge, thank you, by the way, Cream. With Outliers Edge, you're in a place where the people who listen to this feel what you're feeling.
Yeah.
You know, and we have a saying here where it's like, it's just a Tuesday, you know, like, yeah. I'm not trying to do anything. I'm not trying to be anything. I'm not even trying to be authentic. I can't not be me right now. Right. And so I'm really looking forward to playing with this year. You brought up authenticity. I just went to a leadership retreat that like brought up a whole new level of it for me. So I want to dive into that a little bit with you in a bit. I have the pleasure of getting like knowing you and a bit about your background and a bit about your journey. I would love to make sure that outliers here who are listening also get a sense of who you are. Not even just a sense, like get the essence of who you are. But let's talk about the external thing, right?
Okay.
Let's talk about the external part. My invitation here is to I have a thing, just let us know who you are. Modesty is not necessary. You know, we just, I want to, we're going to spend so much time on you and like how
Yes.
you, who you are, that I want to make sure that outliers out there get a chance to see like, this is the game that you're playing out in the world, you know?
Yeah. Yeah.
And then we can have the real conversation about like, and then this is the game that's happening inside of me.
That is very challenging for me. You gave me a challenge because you were saying modesty. So
I'm
I
saying
see
not
modesty.
Like, yeah, go ahead.
I know I see modesty in two ways, and that is, and it's funny that you. So this is what that word means to me. Growing up, I was raised in a very strict Christian, non-denominational Christian home. So modesty was very important to my family and to my childhood. There were, you know, I couldn't wear short sleeves. I couldn't wear my hair a certain way. You know, we couldn't cut our hair. We couldn't wear makeup or lip gloss or nail polish, like all the things that I'm a very feminine woman of, you know, my definition of femininity. And I love all the things that they call girly things or womanly things, and all of those things were not allowed in my household. So growing up, modesty meant something completely different. It just meant being 100% covered and carrying yourself a certain way. And I still carry some of those traits with me, but I wear pants now and I get my nails done. and I dye my hair. But modesty now, I shared a post with you earlier before we started, and it was all about not being so humble that you don't share your wins with others. And that is the modesty that I'm overcoming now. It's just being so humble and so modest with who I am as a person outside, as far as like my wins and my success. But when it comes to kindness and how I interact with others and my authenticity in that way, oh, I'm all about being loud with that. So that's why I laughed when you said modesty, because it's just, that's such an intricate word for me. But I still didn't tell everyone who I am. That was immodest.
Yeah, don't worry. I was paying attention. I was like, we're gonna let this happen here, but like we are gonna
still
answer
being
this question.
Modest, okay.
Yeah. And
you got me.
Yeah. You actually called yourself in, and I want to acknowledge that. Like mm-hmm. I was quiet. I stayed on mute because I'm like, it hasn't happened yet. I'm like, there's nothing to respond. But there's a lot to respond to, actually. There's a lot to respond
yes.
to. But there's I do want to give you. I want to give you that chance. I want to give you that platform here this year. And trust me,
where would
be
you like for me
more.
To begin? Where
start
would you
at
like
the
to
end?
Begin?
Start at the end, because every story begins in the middle, right? So this time, just start at the end. I think that's what
At
they're
the
doing
end.
Now. It's like the cool cuts of like, this is what happened at the end. Then we'll take you back. Where are you
Okay.
at now? What excites
Right
you that you're
now.
working on? Yeah, like that. Yeah, just tell us.
Oh my gosh! Right now, I am in a pivotal moment in my entrepreneurial career, and I am doing a lot more for self, for my personal brand. I'm used to working with clients. I'm used to having others to push and promote and market and brand and put them on the platform and a pedestal.
So is that what
And
you do with your clients? Let me just check in on that. Is that what you do with your clients?
Yeah. So my company, we do what I own a media company, and but the main part of my company is PR, marketing, and brand management. And that's what I do for my clients. And right now I do digital communication, management, and marketing for the Museum of Contemporary Art, Cleveland. And within that, I bring a lot of aspects from my company into, it's called Mocha. We call it Mocha, but I bring a lot of the aspects from my company into Mocha. So going back to your word, modesty, when I first got there, I was being very modest and I didn't really tell anyone that I was one half of Mocha's marketing team. I kept it to myself. I was very quiet about it. And the universe has its way of reprimanding you when you need it. So it'll bring like this platform into your life or you'll have random conversations. I had a random conversation at the end of last week. And the person said, and they are huge in the entertainment industry. And they said, you are bigger than you allow yourself to believe that you are. You are more important than you allow yourself to believe that you are. And you never told anyone that you're doing all these. You never told us or anyone that you're doing all these things. You didn't even tell us that you were doing all these things with the museum. Had we known, we all would have shown up in numbers to support all of the work that you have been doing. You just needed to let us know. So there's been all these little pieces and gems that have been dropped from the universe saying, show up for yourself and show up loudly. You don't have to be modest about what you're doing and how you're doing it, because there are people that are out there waiting for you to be loud and proud of everything. I'm proud of everything that I do. I'm just not loud about it. Apparently, I need to be louder about it because there are people that are waiting to celebrate all of my wins with me. I just have to stop being modest.
I love it. If you would give me the gift then to celebrate, what are like three of your most recent wins?
Well, the day before, well, what is this? So for, are we giving dates or?
Like we can talk, you can give dates, you can not give dates. Give dates. Okay. I think that okay. like if that helps.
Okay. Well, the day before yesterday was Wednesday. So Wednesday, there is I curated something called the Influencer VIP Tours for the Museum of Contemporary Art. And I'm always invited to VIP events and as a VIP and as an influencer, and they just never seem to be up to par. It's not a real VIP experience. So I came up with this idea to invite others that are like me, that probably have the same experiences that I do, that we realize we're only being invited for the photo op. And then we get posted on social media to say, this person came to our event, but it wasn't that special for us. So the museum is closed Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday to the public, but the staff is there. So I thought of these influencer VIP tours to invite certain people to the museum when it's closed to the public and give them a private tour of the museum. So the last one that I did was this past Wednesday. We did a scavenger hunt. It was really cool. I put gift bags together and some pretty influential people came and they loved it so much that they were asking for me to set up more for the next exhibition season. Following that event later that night, I did a tasting with a non-alcoholic brand called Curious Elixirs, and it was at a friend of mine. They own a lounge, and so they allowed me to have the tasting and networking event there, and that went so well. People were coming up and saying, so is this going to be every Wednesday? Is it going to be like a women's networking event? Like, what's going on? It really was supposed to be just for that day, so now it has turned into a full-on event for every Wednesday. That I have no idea when it's going to begin, but apparently everyone wants it. So it's going to happen. And now I think I have another stream of income because we came up with a signature drink with the Curious Elixirs elixir. And someone's like, so someone told me you're selling this. It's bottled and it's being sold. I was like, oh, well, we don't have any available tonight, but I will work on that for you. So those are some wins, I guess, that I could, not I guess, those are some wins that I would like to share right now that just happened 2 days ago that I'm smiling about.
Yeah, I'm smiling. You got me dancing here. I'm wearing a festive shirt. This is one of my more festive. I wear my pineapple shirt, y'all. And like, it feels right. I'm like, oh yeah, that's right. We're in celebration mode. We're in celebration.
Yes.
A few things. Firstly, thank you. Thank you for playing, right? Thank you for... Honestly, it's interesting being in space with me because I'm like we're going to have the experience of you know, and it's awesome. Like there's things I want to talk about in terms of your wins in particular, you know, but like underneath all that, like I love that, like, you find opportunity and you keep, like, you keep stepping into that opportunity and creating for the people that are being underserved in it, you know? And I'm really feeling that. And I love what you said about, like, the VIP element. Like, that's such a cool way of looking at it, where it's like, let's really create a real VIP experience. Let's not have the other thing on here, slap on the letters, take a couple photos and say, like, they were here, who was here. Let's actually create an experience for them, because that's something that you were missing.
Absolutely. And it was very relatable for me. And at the beginning of the tour, I did, I greeted everyone. We did a mini meet and greet. And because some of the attendees I knew, and some of them were guests of the invitees that I invited. And so when I explained to them the purpose behind the tour and why I curated this tour, they were on board. They were like, yes, thank you. They were like even more excited about doing the scavenger. It was a scavenger hunt / tour. And they were, I could see the relief in their faces and the relief in their bodies when they realized it wasn't just another VIP, quote unquote, VIP thing that they had been invited to. When they understood that I could relate to them and being invited to something that wasn't a relatable experience for them and for myself, I think that made them feel even more excited about being invited. And when they walked in and they saw the huge gift bags waiting for them, they're like, these are for us. We never get anything like this when we go to events. And at the end, as I stated, a lot of them were like, this is the best VIP invite I've ever received in the city. And I get them all the time, but this full experience was one of the better experiences that I've had. And that really made me feel really, really proud, because I know how I felt leaving events that I've been invited to. And I know how I want to feel and how I would have liked to have felt in those moments. And so I just wanted to give them that feeling that I knew that I was missing and had missed in invites that I received. So it felt really good that I was able to convey that.
Yeah, well, props to you on this. I want to talk a little bit to outliers that are listening here, because there's something that's showing up. There's a few different things that are showing up. One of them is, like, we talked about, like, the outside and the inside, right? On the outside, people get, like, a label, VIP. It's like, you know, right, branded on their forehead. And it's like, you must treat VIP this way. They must be, like, this is how it is, right? But on the inside, there was something missing from that experience. It didn't feel like you were VIP. From that mm-hmm. experience, there were things that you had wanted that weren't coming in. And I think that the two things that are playing out for me as I'm listening to this is, and this goes out here to outliers, like, one, like, we might think that someone who's playing a big game, someone who's a VIP in your world, so on and so forth, like, either has it all or is getting everything that, like they could possibly want. You're like, what could I possibly offer them, right? And, like, in listening to this story here, it's like, it's actually simpler than it seems. Like actually help us feel like we are there and do it for us, as opposed for right. And that's, like, in this case, that was the answer. But I'm thinking about, for each of us outliers, there's something in there where, like, we're just people, you know, and they are just people. And to be able to put yourself in a position where you can just go and make sure that you're also taking care of the human needs of a person, I think, like, levels of playing field. What's your thoughts, Kareem?
I agree. And I think that it's about being seen in a different way than how we actually see people. Excuse me. And going back to something you were saying, like, people that we deem to be VIPs and you think they have everything and, oh, they're, excuse me, even we take celebrities and they're being followed by paparazzi everywhere and there's pictures and they're plastered all over the place. And so you assume, like, they're seen all over the world. People see them all the time. We see them everywhere. But are they really being seen? There's a difference between being seen and being looked at. We can look at celebrities every day, but are they really being seen? You know, are they going somewhere and someone remember, like, let's just say there's a hotel or a restaurant that they frequent and the paparazzi is always there and they're always taking photos of them. But there's a wait staff that remembers that Kareem loves sparkling water and her favorite sparkling water and whatever her favorite dessert is. And when she comes in, it's not because she's this celebrity, it's because the human part of her enjoys sparkling water and they're connecting with her as a person and saying, I remembered that this was the water that you wanted, that you enjoyed, that you liked, and the experience that I had with you, all of the times that I've waited on you was amazing. And I wanted to continue that type of relationship. And so it's being seen in that way. And I, going back to modesty, talking to myself and being okay with how I speak over myself, I think I have a gift when it comes to that and seeing people. And the reason why I say that is because I have heard that several times in the way in which I interact with people. And they always at the end say, I don't know how you do it, but somehow you see me. And that's important to me. I want people to feel like human beings, no matter what their status is. And anyone can be their own version of a VIP. So everyone that was invited to the tour yesterday wasn't a celebrity. Are they in proximity to celebrities? Some of them, yes. But a lot of them, every person that came, they were Black. The organization is not a Black organization, but they are entrepreneurs. They are very hardworking business owners. Some of them own several successful businesses, and they aren't always seen. And I knew that they needed to feel seen and they needed to be seen, and they thoroughly appreciated it. So there's a difference between looking at someone and actually seeing them.
I appreciate you letting us see you. And you know, I think there's another level underneath this, because I worked in company culture for years, right? And people would come out and they're like, oh, we need to have a pinball machine to get like the culture, like that's going to raise the culture up. And it's like, no, you missed like what was actually needed in this space, right? And what I'm hearing from you is like, it's like you, we might hear scavenger hunt, we might hear like it happen in the museum and like off hours and things like that, and think, well, I don't have access to that, I'm not that creative. And it's like, that's not the point. The point was, let what can I create with the resources that I have that is in alignment with helping these people who may not, who might be, I say, you're working on me as you're talking, as you're sharing, you're working on me. And I think there's a lot of outliers out there where you're working on them too. I say that like, I'm someone who's well known, but not known well.
Mm.
And I can relate to that. That's when you're saying this here, they said to me, but like, I feel like at the core of it, you're like, hey, I see you, like, and regardless of what anyone else might say, let's take this time to celebrate the you.
Mm-hmm.
I'm appreciative of this. I like to play this and help our outliers, like, especially if they're like on defense, because we keep creating things, and then we get to that point you talked earlier about being too much, or it might come off as too much. That's those two words right there. It used to be my sentence, and now it's like the thing I try and live by. I have a guarantee in my business where I'm like, if it's not too much, it's not enough, you know. Yeah. So come back if I haven't gone above and beyond for you, let me know. We haven't gone enough, right?
Yeah.
You brought up also like the modesty, and I think this would be really interesting because you talked about like what it was like growing up and how it's shown up for you now, and what was playing out for me was this concept that I think about, where it's like, as we continue to level up in life, there are certain like key, I found there's like certain key pillars or certain key like bosses or whatever it is that we have to keep like overcoming and fighting level after level after level, but it looks different each time. It's the same, it's like the same like spawn of the same lineage, all that. So for me, it's loneliness and being alone, right? Yeah. My number one fear is being alone. You know, and so I created myself as someone who I didn't fit in, but I fit out. You know, I never feel like I belonged, but I created a way to like, I don't know, I was super PC. I call myself a recovering people pleaser, you know, like, and I just wanted to be whatever someone wanted me to be in order to like be around, like have others be with me, you know?
Yeah.
And I find like even now, like now I'm like, okay, I can spend time on my own. Now I can like, now like if someone doesn't invite me, it doesn't mean that I'm like, doesn't mean anything about me. It just like, it is what it is. I will invite them because I want to do cool things with the people I want to do it with. And if they say no, it's not a reflection of me. That's me and like my personal. But in a professional, I keep finding like, okay, am I willing to be alone and being the only one who's creating a podcast in this way, or creating their business model in this way, or saying the thought leadership that I'm using in this way, or so on and so forth. So it's like another game of like, how far am I willing to be alone? And when you were talking about modesty, I was curious if that, like, if there's been like different events in your life where you're like, okay, this is just enough, like that modesty family line has come back again, like, now I got to play it at this level. Is there any thoughts that come to you as I bring that in?
Yes, because I grew up in, initially I grew up in a very creative household. So my mom and dad met in theater. So I have two, well, my father passed away when I was 8 years old, but I had two creative parents, and my mom's side of the family, almost everyone is creative. They do something creative. We are a highly educated family. I think almost everyone has a college degree, has gone to a higher level of education, even on my dad's side. But on my mom's side, it's you would be afraid to say that you weren't going to college. That's a no-no. And so growing up in that environment made me, because a lot of people are like, how did you become a creative? How did you get into entertainment? How did you get into the industry? It's just basically, I grew up in it. There's a lot of people in my family that are in it. And once my mom started going to our church, that pulled us away from it a little bit. But there was a difference between church and worldly things. And what I started my business, when I started my business, the clients that started gravitating towards me were in the entertainment business. They were music artists. They were models, and none of that's modest, you know? So it was very challenging for me, because a few of the ladies that wanted me to represent them, you know, they were very free, and, you know, they would show up dressed how they would be dressed, and then I would show up how I would be dressed, and we were total opposites in how we were dressing. That they looked super immodest and I looked extremely modest, even though it wasn't as extreme as it seemed. So that was a battle for me, just having clients in an industry that doesn't really celebrate modesty all like that, and just growing up and being someone that always had their body covered, and I've never just been someone that's just like, yes, let me just let it all out. And also being a woman and being a Black woman, there are challenges that comes with those labels as well. And a lot of times you have to assimilate. There's different ways of assimilation, and some women use their bodies to assimilate into different spaces. And that doesn't mean they're doing things sexually with anyone, but they do know that sex appeal is what can get them to different levels. And I mean, I know what I visually look like, but it's just something that I've always struggled with using to get where I needed to be, because I always grew up with the focus being education and being intelligent. I had my IQ tested when I was 5 years old, so I always knew I had a very high IQ, and that is what my family leaned into. So I was in every academic program I could possibly be in, and then on the side, I was in all the creative programs that I could be in. I played the cello. I was in an orchestra for like 9 years. I played classical guitar. I played piano. I was in theater. I did all these creative things. So I was like, yes, the world is ready for me. I'm this modest, intelligent woman, and then you get out there, and it's like, why aren't your boobs popping out the top of your turtleneck? You're beautiful. You should be dressed like this. So there was that struggle to maintain my version of modesty, and also struggling with walking into spaces and people seeing how I looked visually and thinking that I was not the boss, I was not in charge, I was someone's girlfriend, I was someone's wife. This event possibly could not have been put on by me, even though I was dressed modestly, but they would still look at me visually and say, no. Or they would come to the radio station and think that one of the DJs was my boss. And they'd say, hey, can you go get your boss and tell him to come out here? I want to talk to him about running some ads on the station. And I would go out and then I'd come back in and I'd sit down. They're like, okay, well, is he coming? I'm like, he's right here. That's me. So, yeah, it's just to wrap up, it's kind of weird because you see and you hear and you listen to all these podcasts where folks are telling women, men are looking for this and people are looking for this and this is how you need to be. And there are women that present themselves in those ways, and you find that regardless of how you present yourself, there are going to be challenges, there are going to be walls, there are going to be things that you need to overcome. And a lot of times when folks are telling you how to show up that will make them best respect you, it's just them really pushing their insecurities off on you, because you can be as modest as you want to be and you'll still go through the same thing that someone that is quote unquote immodestly dressed, you'll go through the same things. If you don't respect women, you just don't respect women. You could care less how they're dressed, how beautiful they are, or how unattractive they are. You're going to treat them the same. And that's my experience.
Yeah. Thank you for bringing that in here. Like, a couple different things that are playing out as I'm going through, as I'm listening. And let me ask you, if there was like one message that you would want to, for someone to like take away from what you just shared, like what would it be? And like, it doesn't have to be like to the masses. It's like, yeah, there's one, like, and it might be a Black woman who's listening to this, like, that's just like, I feel you. And I'm like, what's the takeaway you would want for her?
So I'm pretty sure everyone's thinking, like, you sound like you love what you do as an entrepreneur. What made you choose to go into this space? What made you choose to agree to work at the museum? That was a difficult decision for me. There was two other Black women that worked there. And while I was there, one of those Black women left, and it was just two of us. And it felt like there were two of us. It was a challenge for me because I had been successful on my own, and I could just walk out and say, you know, I have my own brand. I have my own office. That's where I am now. Like, I have my own office. I have my own studio. I have my own everything. But I thought about, where would I make the most impact? Where would I be able to open the most doors? Where would I need to be seen the most? And that's why I'm still at the museum, because I want to be the change that I know that others need to see. Not everyone can be an entrepreneur. So you may not be able to relate to me as an entrepreneur. And a lot of people don't. But you can relate to me as a Black woman in an office, as a minority, because there's only two of us there. And being in a space where you are authentically yourself and you're representing, we're not a monolith, but you know that you represent all of the other women, and you're holding the door and the space for them to be able to walk through that door, because you've cleared that path for them to make it a road. It won't be 100% easy, but it'll be easier for them because of what the foundation that you've already laid for them. So, a short version of an answer: don't be afraid to be authentically yourself in all spaces. Don't be afraid to pivot into a space where you know that you're needed, but make sure that you aren't giving more of yourself than you know that you could possibly give. And you know what that is. Only you know what that is.
Give it some time. Just like let that sink in. I'm appreciative of this year because there's two parts of me right now that are vying, right? One part here is okay, we've got to see you as like the person in the office. Like I'm like, oh, I want to know more about the entrepreneur side of things. Like I'm like, especially because you tease, you're like, oh, that's very unrelatable. I was like, here we're like take me to the most unrelatable, right? So there's that, right? And then there's the other thing here about like being the path creator, the foundation setter, right? I talk a lot of like people are like, what is an outlier? And I have many different definitions of it. It's a self choice. Like you choose to be a part of it because I did diversity and inclusion for a number of years, and I was like, I just don't like it. Like it feels like more like division, you know? Like you know, okay, if you're African American, you go here. If you're Asian American, you go here. You know, like I'm just like, I don't know what you're doing. Like I don't know how this is supposed to bring us together, but okay. And so I'm big in like the self-selection, and one of my things is like, you know, we're one of the first, one of the only, or one of a kind in the things that we do. And so I'm curious. I think there's a part of me that's like on the foundation side, and like how you keep good throughout it, you know. You talked about being loud earlier in this conversation. Now you're talking about being seen. Like you talk about being seen from one perspective, like being seen internally. And now I think that like you're also talking about like being visible so that others can see themselves through you. And I think what I'd like to do, if you're open to it, I'd like to give you like the option here, if you like that, to go spend a bit more time like finding out just how unrelatable you are as an entrepreneur. And or talk a little bit more about like, because there could be outliers out here who are also foundation setters and all that. And how, like, the real thing is not like, what do you do as that, but how do you take care of you? And how do you continue to keep making moves, like carrying the holding the door open? Like, it's like Game of Thrones, like, hold door, like, that's what it feels like when you were describing it. So let me give you the option. Where would you like to go and we'll play?
Either one. We can do either one. We can do both. I'm
All
okay
right,
with
then
both.
let's do both, right? We'll see where we are in time. We're gonna be wrapping up pretty soon, but let's start off with holding the door, right? So tell me a little bit about like I think for me the what I'm most curious about is how do you continue to nourish yourself if you're in that position, and you know what like how do you find your paths forward if you're navigating into something where you're also thinking, okay, well, the way that I hold myself is both the foundation that like all that.
I have to be transparent and honest and say it is a challenge. It is a challenge because when you are the only one or one of the only ones, you are their example for you. You're the example for your group. But the way that I remain wholly myself is to continue to be authentically me. No matter what, I show up for myself, and showing up for myself helps groups that may not always interact with that much diversity understand what it's like to really interact with Black women and with Black people, not their version of, not the version they get on television. Not the version that their family passed down to them. They get a real authentic version of what this version of a Black woman is, and just being authentically me and speaking up for myself. So when I am being introduced improperly, I will reintroduce myself right then and there properly. If I don't feel seen, let's have a conversation about it. Let's unpack this. So I'm the unpacker. I'm the let's have a conversation with a smile. Like I'm very upfront. I'm very real and professionally present in those moments. And that's how I keep my sanity and my peace in those spaces. But the other way that I keep my sanity and my space is I'm really work-life balance is big to me. And before I accepted the job offer they were aware of my brand. They were aware of my entrepreneurship. And I laid all the cards on the table and I let them know up front the type of work-life balance that I desired. And if they weren't able to agree to those terms, then it was going to be a no. And I was okay with that.
Oh, I love it. You know, it's thank you. Like this is I remember going for my role in tech and being in a very similar place. The first time I was an entrepreneur, I was working at another company. And then like remember my dad was like, you don't want to like let people know that you're doing this, because if anything goes wrong, they can blame it on that, you know? Yeah. And so like I was like, all right, I'm doing all this extra work, you know. And at the next place, like I got an interview and I was just like, just so you know, like I got, this is me. This is all happening. This is like, and what I appreciated about that place and why I still talk about it to this day so happily, like so fully, is because they're like, great, you're now amongst a place where everyone here has something going on. You know, like we don't want people who are just about the job, because like we are still expanding. We are still growing. We need your creativity. We need that drive. We can't instill a drive. Like, and it was so welcome and refreshing to have that front and center and be able to leverage that along the way. Just like, I'm curious for you, how's it been for you to be able to have all of it all in the same place?
The same. It's been the same. And it's actually been more of a help for them, because I've been able to utilize my network and all that I do as an entrepreneur in my position for the museum, and it works in their favor. So but the other cool aspect of my position is that they actually found me through social media, because I was already someone who frequented the museum and all the other museums. And as I mentioned earlier, I love to vlog and I love doing all of the digital content creation. And so there were a couple of times where I created a couple of vlogs and some digital videos and tagged them. And so it took them almost a year to get me to say yes.
So they came a couple of different times.
Yes. Okay. They're we have this available and we really need someone just like you. And I was like, thanks. That is so amazing. I love where I am. Where are you now? I'm with myself. So that's why I was very, you know, adamant about just being upfront. I'm like, you know, I told myself, like, listen, be honest, be upfront. And lay it all on the table. And if they really want you there, they're going to accept your counter offer to whatever their offer is. And they said, okay. And that was in 2022, summer of 2022. I'm still there, but I have to give it to the fact that I remained authentic to myself. And also the fact that, they have allowed me to have a great work-life balance. If it weren't for the work-life balance that I have, we'd be having just an entrepreneur conversation.
Yeah. And it's interesting because it's like I can imagine it'd been like work-life balance, you know? And I want to acknowledge you for creating what you created. And I'm thinking, as you're thinking about this, I'm thinking about conversations I've had. I'm thinking about like places where outliers might be like, oh, I have to hide this part. Like for me, it was like, I have to hide this for a long time. The other side of it became like, when I was ready to go and do something new, I was like, well, that was my past. This is my future. So let me not do that. And like, what I hear is that like, you brought it, you're bringing everything with you. Everything in your life gets better because you are whole, you are complete. It is, everything is just all in the same pot. And so every ingredient gets a little bit better, right? You're bringing in different components of it.
Absolutely. Because I learned that life lesson the hard way from holding things in. I actually got sick and I had to be hospitalized and I had to let things go and understand that also sharing brings in help. I'm one that does everything myself. I'm okay with doing everything myself. And not because I don't think that there's folks out there that are capable of helping me. I just do and don't realize that I'm doing everything. I just start. If I know this needs to be done, I will just do it. I'll do this and I'll do this and I'll do this, not realizing that I'm doing everything. So when this came, when this was presented to me, I realized I already had so many other things. So it was like, hey, this is something that I told myself that I was going to start doing, which is being more authentic to me. So within that was laying it on the table and saying, these are all the things that I'm already doing. Are you okay with me still doing all these things? Because this is me. If you are, then I accept. If you are not, I don't accept. I don't want to bring undue stress to myself. And I also don't want to let go of who I authentically am and who I enjoy just to come over here and fulfill your needs. Your lack of preparation is not my priority. So you weren't prepared.
When I'm here, like, it took them a year to get there, you know, but like, then they were on it. So let's do this here. We have to wrap up this conversation. Okay. I want to thank you. Firstly, I want to thank you. Let's do this. I'll ask you a few different things. So Let's start off with anyone here who wants to like continue down the journey with you, Kareem, who wants to like whether it's on the entrepreneur side, whether it's with Mocha side, what are the best ways for someone to continue down the journey and just like dive into your world?
Well, I have my tagline, which is Welcome to Kareem's World. That is my website is Welcome to Kareem's World. You can put .com or .net. It goes to the same site. Another site is Conversations with Kareem. That's my podcast. Or you can follow me on social media, Miss Kareem of the Crop. If you put MS Kareem of the Crop in Google or Instagram, everything will come up for you. And I am excited to engage with whomever wants to come over and positively engage with me. Positive vibes only. And I also left out something. Something that I learned from just in videos and doing my studies, that the most successful people have morning routines. And so that's something that I incorporate into my life. So I don't want to leave that out. So the way in which I go about doing all the things that I do is having a morning routine. I wake up at 5 a.m. every day and have my me time. I meditate and I do yoga. So having that balance mentally, physically, and spiritually, please find some time for yourself. You have to find time for yourself. Even if you just have one job, find time for yourself. It's important.
I feel like you're talking to me, Kareem, because I'm like, it's been a while since I've been a while since I practiced my morning routine. So now that you put it on, I'm like, I have some mornings. I'm like, oh yeah, I have abandoned it. So thank you.
Make it a point to get back into it. I'm pretty sure you're going to feel more balanced. When I don't do mine, I have the most imbalanced day or week ever.
Yeah, we're good. Tomorrow's a morning. So I'll start tomorrow. I missed it for this morning, but like for tomorrow's a morning. So I'm in.
Okay.
Let's do this. Two more questions. What was your biggest insight from today's conversation? I like to have conversations where we're all still growing in the midst of it.
The biggest insight from this conversation again is being okay with sharing my wins out loud and being immodest about those wins. And my version of being immodest is just being very, very loud and saying, I did the dang thing on Wednesday. It worked. And who did it? Me. I curated it. Everyone was excited. I did it. My name was on it. Like all those things feels weird to me, but we did it. I did it.
Indeed. Yes, indeed. Kareem. And so let's wrap up with this last question here. And this is what I call the time capsule question. This is a message. This is a question just for you. Right. And it's, you know, you've lived the life that you've lived. You have all the wisdom that you have right now, and you're going to continue to do great things. But there might be some time in the future where there's something, you know, right now that you wish you like that you would love to be reminded of. So what's a message that you would leave that you, the current you would leave right now to remind yourself in 10 years from now?
That's an amazing question. It sounds simple, to remember to continue to focus on happiness. I don't think most people understand that you have to work at being happy. So in 10 years from now, I hope that I'm still working and living in happiness.
There we have it. Kareem, I appreciate you. Thank you so much for your time, for sharing your experience, and for building all the expertise that brought it into this conversation here. Thank you for being authentic. Thank you for being loud. Thank you for letting us see you. Thank you for being modest and immodest at the same time. It's just a wonderful experience for me. Thank you for bringing your essence and giving us that purity of you. I appreciate you. Be well.
Thank you so much for having me. I appreciate you as well. This was a great conversation, a much needed conversation for me. So thank you for your platform and for the invitation.
Most certainly.
Thank you.